pirates had infected the seas for generations. So I vowed to eliminate them all. Jack Sparrow cursed me. I will have my revenge.
Are you sure you're the Jack Sparrow? Where's your pants?
A great pirate does not require such intricacies.
Find Sparrow.
Karina is the only one who can help us.
I'm not looking for trouble.
What a horrible way to live.
I'm a woman of science. I choose not to believe in ghosts.
Do you not see what's behind us?
Oh, monkey.
Are all pirates this stupid?
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I present to you Red Spotlight Entertainment.
Spotters, welcome to another episode of Red Spotlight Entertainment. I'm your lovely host, Kyle Lira, and today we're going to be going over Red Spotlight number 51, Yo-Ho and a Lasso of Truth. With me today I have Peter Martinez. How are you today, sir?
You're absolutely right.
Okay, and then we have Alexa Soto with us today. How are you guys? How are you today, sir?
I am alive.
That's wonderful. And now we're going to be going over the Wonder Woman review. We're going to be going over Pirates of the Caribbean 5. And then for What's Happening Hot Stuff, we're going to be going over Zack Snyder and his current DC role, the Black Panther trailer, and a little tribute to the original Caped Crusader. So without further ado, I'm your host, Kyle Lira, and this is Red Spotlight number 51, Yo-Ho and a Lasso of Truth.
When war ravaged the earth, the gods created us.
I will fight for those who cannot fight for themselves.
Wonder Woman.
What are you?
You will soon find out.
And we are here, ladies and gentlemen, so without further ado, let's not waste any time. Guys, Wonder Woman, love it or hate it?
I want to get what you thought about it first, Kyle.
I loved it. I loved it. I recognize its faults, especially with that tedious third act. But overall, I really enjoyed the movie, and I really loved it. Gal Gadot, however you say her name, she was solid as Diana, and I thought that Chris Pine, he was equally as good. I thought a lot of the elements worked for me, I liked the action set pieces, like the No Man's Land sequence. I liked the when they were in the Themyscira. I thought, and it was also another thing, DC finally uses a thing called color, and I like that element. Now, here's the part where Peter Martinez completely shits on all the praise that I gave it, and...
Well, before he shits on the praise, perhaps I can jump in for once and be the glimmer of hope for the DC.
You can be like a rebellion.
Because it's built on hope.
Sure. There are a couple of things we need to get out of the way first, okay? Are you with me?
The boogly.
All right.
It will find the truth.
Have you come
one of them
to kill me?
Okay, go on, Alexis.
First of all, I want to be on this show the first to congratulate Peter Martinez on being 100% right when it comes to how the quality of this film ended up panning out, and as we'll touch on later, how the reception of this film was taken. So I think Peter Martinez deserves absolute props. I think he is the official oracle of 2017. And from now on, I would probably listen to him more than any of us here on this panel. And the reason why I'm saying these things is because Wonder Woman is a good movie. Wonder Woman is the first film where I can say, the first DCEU film, where I can say that I legitimately liked. And I liked it a lot. I liked Gal Gadot. I liked Chris Pine. I think this film had competent writing. It had really interesting action set pieces. And I think even though that there are really low lows, you know, the lows that we come to associate in a DC film, I think I will say that nothing in this film is so terrible to the point where it detracts from my enjoyment of the film. And what I loved most about it is Wonder Woman, the character. She is a hero, as classy and classic as they come, and I want more of her. Gal Gadot really brought it. And I think there are many reasons to why this movie worked. But I enjoyed myself. I caught myself smiling and laughing and getting into the story at a DCEU film, which I have to say, that is a miracle in and of itself.
It's like that episode of Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy when Mandy finally smiled.
And I have to say that when I first told these two that I liked the film, first of all, Kyle was crying, and number two,
it's a Christmas miracle.
And Peter was disgusted.
Yes. I assume Marvel's checks bounced. That's what I assume.
And why were you disgusted, Peter?
I guess we gotta get into what I thought of the film. I was disgusted, not because he liked the film, but because
he liked it more.
He liked it more than me, and he has no right to like that film more than me.
Why?
He has shit on the DCEU, and I know I do too.
But that's what makes it a miracle.
I know, that's why it makes it a miracle.
That's what makes it a miracle.
But I was rooting for this film to be as great as everyone said it was, and at the end of the day,
it was
not bad at all, but it was just good. It was solid. It was a well-made, well-done summer blockbuster superhero film. And the reason why I had disappointment walking out of the movie theater is because, and I was afraid this would happen, and even then I still bought into it, but that's because that's how much I love these characters and I want to love them so badly. It was overhyped. You know, people were saying this is the best film since The Dark Knight. It is easily one of the best comic book films ever made. Some people, it's one of the best films I've ever seen. Da 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 da. And while it is really well made, I do not understand what those people are seeing. Believe me, I want to see it. I need to see it again. Maybe I'm missing something. But to me, I was like, wow, this was
audio commentary coming soon.
Audio commentary is definitely coming. This was really well. It was a well done, the best live action DC film since The Dark Knight. I'll even say I like it more over The Dark Knight Rises. Easily the best the DCEU has brought. Gal Gadot was really good. She was very charismatic and charming. Chris Pine is great as always. Well choreographed action. There was some slight issues with that. What really held this film together, and what really holds together most superhero films, is that one, you care about the character and you care about her plight, her story, and the relationships and the personal struggle that hero has. And all of that stuff was done really well. I would even say the relationship aspect was better than most superhero films. That's where I say, okay, I understand saying that aspect of it was some of the best you've seen in comic book films. But other than that, a lot of the other stuff was done by the numbers. Not bad at all, but it wasn't better. I haven't seen it done better, you know?
Yeah.
But overall, without getting spoilery, solid, well-made, definitely good.
Well, you guys don't have to look back on spoilers.
Oh, is it spoilers?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but I want to jump in just very briefly. I know we want to get to the actual movie, but, like, Peter, you and I are in complete agreement when it comes to the overhypeness of this film. Also, we're in complete agreement as to what the negatives are and what the positives are. And yet, how is it that I ended up liking this more than you did?
I think it came down to the negatives that were there. You saw them, but it never once detracted from you being in the moment with the film and your enjoyment of it. With me, even though we saw the same negatives, I think they were bigger negatives in my eyes than they were in your eyes.
They were a bigger impact on you and your overall judgment.
So it wasn't that we had different negatives and positives. It was just they were to a bigger degree for me than I think they were for you.
I mean, I get...
Just wait till we get to Pirates.
Oh, my God. Oh,
that's I can't be wait, because I haven't heard your thoughts on it yet.
This is one of the few films that we legitimately do not know each other's thoughts going in, so...
Mostly yours, Alexis.
Yeah.
I think that... I think I see a lot of the negatives that are being spewed out about this film. I'm in the same boat as you, Alexis, that the negatives of the film, like, for example, prime example, Remus Lupin God, I mean, Ares, that was a bullshit plot thread, although it did not deter me seeing Gal Gadot completely kicking ass. Another thing that I didn't like, and you could watch the After Dark. I went into more in depth about it, but the sidekicks that were with Chris Pine around the whole thing, that was something else.
You're not the biggest fan of sidekicks, huh? In these kind of films. Or at least that's the way it's coming off to me. Because usually with a lot of superhero films, that's kind of the aspect of the film that you're just kind of whatever on.
Yeah. Well, it's because it distracts me from, like, the main people, you know.
I can see that. But
and I'm like, I want to see more of these two. Like, spend less time focusing on sidekicks and really strengthen the main characters a little bit more.
Wait a minute. The sidekicks didn't even have that much time.
Yeah.
Exactly. So why even have them to begin with?
I'll be honest.
Other than to have that reference of the photo in BVS, but that's it.
I thought the characters were likable enough. I do think they were a little cheesy and on the nose and had some hammy stuff, you know, and obvious things with them. But I thought they were fun. I didn't detract. I liked them in the film. I do think that a better film would have been if you pulled them out, not necessarily given more time to Diana and Steven Trevor, because I thought they got a lot of time together, but maybe more to the villains.
Yeah.
The villains were a big issue with me, that, like, every time they're on screen, the film lost me. Mm-hmm. It really did feel like I was in a different film at that point. I that was my biggest thing, especially because they're trying to, throughout the entire film, they're trying to push this tone of realism and the horrors of war, and, you know, the grayness that you find in people. Not everyone's just good and bad. There's more to them to that. And then, you know, we'd have scenes of that, and then you'd cut to them like, yes.
Mustache twirly.
Oh, yes, twirling their mustaches. My evil chemical will destroy the world.
Wahaha.
And I will ask them for $1 trillion. They got real Dr. Evil.
Dr. Draken.
And, who?
Dr. Draken.
Who's that?
Kim Possible.
Oh, okay.
The blue guy.
Yeah, I remember him.
Happy 15th anniversary, Kim Possible.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's been 15
so
years
old.
Since it debuted.
Debuted. Okay. At least not since it ended. So, yeah. For me, the villains were not just weak. I can understand a weak villain. I can overlook a weak villain. Because at the end of the day, at least it's not detracting from the film. It's definitely putting it down.
Peter,
go ahead, Alexis.
Which was worse, though? The Dr. Poison and the German guy or Ares?
Because
I think they're both bad.
I don't think Ares was bad, necessarily. Like, I don't think he was a detracting villain. I thought...
Just the battle scene at the end.
The battle scene with him was distractingly bad.
Yeah, that's what...
Yeah, because... And if we can get into that... I thought, like, oh, okay, I called that he was going to be Ares early on, and I was like, yes, I did it. But I thought, it was like, okay, cool, we're going to see Wonder Woman take on a god, take on Ares, the god of war. If you played God of War, you're like, that shit's cool, you know? There's a lot of things you can do with Greek mythology, which that's awesome. I'm a fan
of. Like, literally, I felt like I was going to break out my Xbox controller.
Oh, heck yes.
And start playing the
Smash
anime.
X.
Smash X, yes.
But the fight, I thought he would, like, transform into his god form, because I assumed he was just taking a human form, then he transformed into his god form. It's like, nope, that's what
he
looks like.
He still had the mustache.
Like, he still had his, like, posh English accent and his mustache, and it looked so goofy to me. Like, yes, I can't do the English accent.
Now, there they should have done the twirl.
Yes. No, but, like, and then I was like, I guess he's not going to put on his armor. And then he does, and it's this cheap rental 99-cent version.
Like the Lord of the Rings Sauron.
Like, he puts it onto him, and then the extent... The Party City version, yeah. The extent of the fight scene was him pointing... And then shit flies at her. Like, he's freaking Magneto. But I think even Magneto has cooler moves than that. Just like, you will not stop me. I am an English poshman named Ares. And just throwing stuff at her by pointing. And then how does the god of war, who is able to defeat all of the gods in, you know, Greece, how does she kill him? She shoots lightning at him. Zeus is the god of the gods, god of lightning.
God of everything.
But specifically lightning. And
he was
killed. He couldn't take care of that real quick. It didn't even seem like that big of a lightning blast. Just kind of like, dead.
Whoosh.
And it's like, to me, the ending was terrible. Like, it was...
Peter.
Yeah.
We have to talk about this. Because this is getting beyond ridiculousness, okay? And look, how is it that the DCEU thinks that you're going to introduce... How many gods have been introduced that have been killed by grenades or lightning?
Oh, that's true. What was the one in... I guess he was an Aztec god, Diablo.
Yeah, but also the brother god of Enchantress.
Yeah.
They both got killed by
a
fucking grenade.
How are these people... No wonder they're no longer ruling. I mean, God, they did a shit job. Are you really a god if you can be destroyed by a grenade blast?
Or lightning.
Like, just a little bit of lightning. I feel like a human could have survived some of the light... Well, maybe not. But, like... A whale? I don't know. All I'm saying is... It was a very lackluster ending. And I know a lot of these comic book films end in these big, giant action set pieces.
Yeah, but this one really devolved into BVS territory at times.
Yeah. And as far as I'm concerned, I will buy what you're selling me. I'll buy anything you're selling me as long as you stay within the rules of your world. And this, it just kind of, it didn't for me.
Well, it is. All the bad guys are shit.
I guess. I still like, I like Zod. I'll defend Zod.
Hold up a minute, though. You know, as because for me anyway, I really, really like the first act, and I really, really like the second act. The third act was kind of is the one that kind of like I'm trying to forget because it really brings the whole movie down. The message.
Oh, okay, and this is
love.
This is my negative. This is my negative.
It's love.
And the more I say it, the more I feel like I'm being a nitpicking asshole, but I don't think I am. because the entire film, they're stressing this message of, and this is the way they're, this is the direction they're heading the entire time.
Okay.
Of like, people are black and white, you know, there's not good people and then bad people. It's, you know, everyone has the capacity for goodness and everyone has the capacity for evil. And, you know, that capacity of goodness in people is worth fighting and dying and doing all these things for.
And
even
comes
from the
after.
Very beginning of the film, when they're talking about how Ares corrupted man and how she wants to go to war, and her mother's like, war is not something to be idolized and everything. And they do a pretty good job of setting you down this track of what the message of the film is. And like I said, there's several instances that reinforce that message, and I think do a
but
good
that,
job of delivering it.
That moment, though, when she thinks that she's killed Ares and she sees nothing has changed, and then when Steve Trevor talks to her and gives her that message, I mean, that was like profound. That was a message that if it ended that way, okay, that's interesting, that's new, and then it completely negates that by turning into a 10-minute light show, and then once Ares is dead, the Germans are all happy and they're all friends again.
Were they? That's what I wasn't sure of, because I saw people getting up and hugging them, and I was like, "Are those the Germans?"
They are.
Were they implying that it really was Ares that had control over them?
I think it was. Yeah.
See, I didn't. I'll be honest. I was confused, but I didn't think twice about that. If that's what they're implying, that's really dumb. Like, I'm not gonna go off on anything, but that really destroys it.
Explain Mussolini. Explain Adolf Hitler.
And it's like the
explain
final
Stalin.
The final message wasn't that. It was just love is
love.
Good. You know, every as long as there's love in your heart, you'll find it. It's just the answer was just love.
I want there to be a moment in the sequel where somebody says, you must save Steven, and then Wonder Woman is like, how do you know that name?
How do you know that name?
yeah. But, yeah. I definitely see the points that you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, that is kind of very Interstellar-esque. Yeah. Well, like,
the slow-mo action.
I didn't mind it. I thought it was. I thought it was cool.
It was overdone.
I think this is the first film, the first mainstream film that I've liked where I'm like, yeah, that's overdone. Because I am a big fan of Zack Snyder, even though I really did like not like Man of Steel and BVS. There needs to be a documentary on what the heck happened with that film. But a common complaint of his earlier films was like too much slow motion. And that never bothered me.
Instead
I was like, it looks cool. That's his style. That's whatever.
Instead of a documentary called People versus George Lucas, there needs to be one called The People versus Zack Snyder.
Oh. I don't think you need to go that far, but just maybe a BVS died, what happened.
I'm pretty sure there's millions of them on YouTube.
But when it comes to the slow-mo, the reason I think it bothered me was because it wouldn't just go, like, slow and then go back right into the action. It would literally stop the action and say, look at this cool pose. Are you
and the action
audience?
Was great.
And
the action
like,
was great.
You didn't have to overcompensate like that. Like, your action was good. Just let your action go. Let it flow. It was shot well when it wasn't in slow motion, and it looked well choreographed when it wasn't in slow motion. But, like, every time I would start to get into it, boom, it would stop and say, look. And it doesn't look like they're in the middle of action. It looks like it's a promo picture. like it's Wonder Woman doing a stance, or one of the Amazons doing a stance with their bow, like, look at us, we're so cool. And it's like, yeah, you're cool, but let me see it through the action. Like, I know some people, I do think that's something that does come down to personal preference. So, like, you saying that it doesn't bother you, I'm like, okay. Because that is something, I get that. But for me, that kind of was an issue, because it would pull me out when I would get into the action, which was well done. So I think that's why it also bothered me more.
My final thoughts are that Robin Wright, also incredible. Didn't get enough screen time, but she was a badass in her own right in this film. Also, the final shot of the film is fucking terrible.
I got what they were going for, but it's... again, it's that same super slow-mo, look at our cool shot. Like, if that was the only one in the film, I'd be like, okay, you're ending the film, whatever. But I already saw, like, 20 versions of that earlier, so I was
And
like,
she punches the screen? I mean, what...
She's coming out comment to rescue you.
Comment below, let me know.
She's trying to save you from the patriarchy. No,
Whoa now.
Whoa. No,
all but... Keanu.
Even with all my negatives, I did enjoy it. I did think it was a good, solid, fun popcorn flick. Well-made comic book movie. And I just happen to have more issues with it than most people. And I understand I'm in the minority with that, and that's fine.
Alexis?
No, he just went.
Oh.
It's your turn.
I thought the movie was excellent. I enjoyed it through and through.
Excellent.
Yeah, I did have my two issues with it, but it really never distracted me enough, like it did with you guys, to where I wound up like completely like, nope, this movie is shit. No, I felt.
Well, to be fair, none of us say that either.
I genuinely love the movie, and I can't wait to see what they do next with Wonder Woman's character, and it does make me intrigued about a Wonder Woman 2 to see what
I'll be interested how they do it, because I remember that was my thought after the first Cap, because I was like, ooh, they did a war film, what are you going to do without the war film? And then they did turn
and then
it
they
into
did
a
it into a political thriller.
But I don't think you can do that with Wonder Woman. I don't think Wonder Woman necessarily translates into political thriller. So I am interested to see the direction they take with her in the second one.
Because compared to Captain America and Wonder Woman, Captain America is a soldier.
Yeah.
And kind of nothing else. Versus Wonder Woman,
but
she...
But a very red, white, and blue modern day political... You know, not modern day politics.
Yeah.
Not modern day politics, but modern day... What's the word? Countries. Like, he's a part of that era, you know?
Yeah.
Of different nations and wars, so it makes sense for a political thriller. She's an ancient Amazonian warrior.
She's a soldier, but then some.
She's more of a war. I'll use the and I know it's the same thing, soldier and warrior, but I think warrior does give it that distinction, you know. It's more of an ancient, you know, she comes from more of an ancient civilization kind of thing.
Before we get into Pirates, what did you guys think of the score?
I liked it. I liked it.
Alexis, what did you think of the score?
It was all right, but I wouldn't put it any of the other Marvel scores. And I'm the only person that will ever say that I think the Marvel scores are good. I'm not going to go on that bandwagon and say, oh, the DC has better scores. They really don't. It's just overhyped again. The Wonder Woman theme is good. Other than that, there's nothing really noteworthy about the score.
I thought it did a good job.
It kept me
in the moment.
Now let's grab some rum at Tortuga and let's go.
This is the part I'm interested in.
We're gonna go into Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man Tell No Tales. First of all, I'm gonna give the floor to Alexis Soto.
Give him all the floor.
If you wanna know what our thoughts are, me and Peters, just go watch The After Dark on YouTube.
Hint, it's not good.
Yeah.
All right. I'll leave it at that.
Those are our thoughts. go watch our After Dark, and then we'll tell you that will tell you what we thought about it. But mostly, I want to know what you thought, Alexis. So, go for it, man.
Wow, I feel so special to have the floor on a momentous occasion such as this. First of all, you know, there was no Tortuga, I think, in the film Dead Men Tell No Tales.
No, there wasn't.
No, but Johnny Depp was pretty much swimming in rum.
Oh my god.
It's really funny because, you know, I saw the film, mm-hmm. and then I because I hadn't heard it yet, I went to go and listen to your guys' review, the After Dark of the film. And I wanted to know, like, exactly where you guys were coming from in your negatives. And it's weird, but here's where I am at the moment. I
Disney
both...
Cuck.
Oh.
I just wanted to get that out ahead of time. Go ahead.
I both agree 100% and disagree 100%.
Oh my god.
If it makes sense.
No.
Explain it.
I walked out of... Okay, first of all.
You walked out loving it.
I enjoyed myself watching the film.
Okay.
You see, now I'm disgusted.
No.
Hold up.
The film is entertaining. I was entertained the entire time. And I had fun. Now, walking out of it, I was like, I wasn't like in love with it. I was like, that was nice. You know? And then I listened to your guys' reviews, and I was listening in particular for what exactly was wrong. And here is where I'm at the moment. I can't really disagree with any of what you said, because I do think those critiques that you lauded against the film, I do think that they are warranted. I do think that they are valid. But I can't say that I felt exactly the same. Now,
this is Beauty and the Beast all over again.
I think it is.
Because you know
is,
why?
Because
it's Disney.
Go ahead. I mean, Alexis, go.
Well, you know, I was saying that, you know, I had fun with the movie. And I think it's just, was Johnny Depp drunk? Yeah. It was very clear.
Was he playing Jack to you, or was he playing another character?
Because he didn't feel like Jack Sparrow. He felt like Johnny Depp drunk to me.
I think there were moments that felt like Jack. I think there were moments that felt like Johnny. And I think that kind of stirs from an issue that the film is trying to sell home the idea that this Jack Sparrow is past his prime, that he's drunk the entire time. Literally, how many times do you see Jack Sparrow drink rum in this film? So
I'm okay, go ahead.
I don't know how much of that was intentional on the part of Johnny Depp, or maybe it was the writing, maybe it was a combination of both. Maybe this was the intent to drive home, this doesn't feel like Jack Sparrow because this is Jack Sparrow past his prime. I can't tell you what happened or what didn't happen. All I can say is that there were moments in which I was like, okay, Johnny's clearly having some issues behind the scene.
Yeah, I don't want to get into that guy's personal life or anything like that, but because I do like Johnny, it just does seem like to me it just came off like he was drunk, not he was playing someone that was drunk. And I've seen him play Jack drunk. This just felt like actual drunk, where he's like, "Where's my trailer?" Like, and at first I do agree with you, like I was like, okay, like they're going for this angle that he's past his prime, And, you know, and he's having issues with that. And I was like, you know what? It doesn't feel 100% like Jack, but that's cool. Like, this is so many years after. They're trying to do a different angle with it. This will be sort of his character arc.
I mean,
Morty. Once the adventure started going, they just dropped that. Like, they never brought up the thing of, like, oh, he's past his prime. It's just, okay, now we're back to regularness, and then that's never brought up again. So that's my issue with it.
I mean, I kind of see what you're saying, although I didn't necessarily feel as if that was dropped. But I think the one scene that felt like the old Jack Sparrow was the scene where they de-aged him.
That was the only scene where it felt like classic pirates to me.
And see, that was Johnny Depp. So I'm like, if Johnny Depp brought it there, what happened with the other scenes?
Well, like, had like almost zero lines as well.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Jack Sparrow was just kind of in this for the most part. I think.
That's my problem too. Jack Sparrow, and especially the first one, and that's the one everyone heralds, but the second and third as well, he's not just someone that happens to get caught up in shenanigans and then, oh no, like, I guess he's, poor him, just stuff happens to him. He's a manipulator. He's not just lucky. Luck is part of it, but he's an intelligent dude who uses his wit and his charisma to, you know, manipulate people and, you know, backstab pirate style. And in the end, get what he wants. You know, and if you see the first film, he's manipulating everyone in that film. And he's really pushing the plot forward with the way he negotiates with Barbossa. And then the way he manipulates Will Turner to get
Norrington.
And Norrington and all of them. And with this one, he just felt like a drunk guy in the backward that they just kind of dragged along because they had to. Like, he didn't push forward the story in any way. It just felt like, okay, he's here because we're obligated to have him here.
Pretty much. Alexis, what did you think about the continuity of the pirate lore?
I don't really understand what your issue is with that.
Go away, dive in. You've been waiting for this. Have your thing.
At all.
Okay. My problem is, okay, first of all, remember in Dead Man's Chest, remember that? Remember that little movie? Well, there was a moment in that said movie in which Tia Dalma said, that compass you bartered from me. That means Jack personally got the compass from Tia Dalma. However, that was not the case in here. It was a hand-me-down from his previous captain from The Wicked Wench.
Mm-hmm. Who said, never betray the thing.
Or the compass.
And by the way, I hate how with every film they add more and more things to the compass. Like the second movie when they said, oh, it not only points to the island but to what you want most. It's a magical one. That's cool. Leave it at that. But with each film, it's like, now if you betrayed, it sends what you want worst after you. And now if you accidentally burn it, it'll send, I don't know what, it'll turn you into an octopus. I don't know. But it becomes
ridiculous.
We'll
get ridiculous. To the octopus later.
I know. But it becomes ridiculous the way that it gets like that. So, and also, he had given that away to many people.
He gave it to, like, Beckett. He gave it to Will Turner. He gave it to Gibbs at one point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot
okay,
of...
Okay, I have...
No. None of your... Well, technically, he was actually doing this and doing... He did it... He gave him to these people. I already know what you're going to try to do.
When he gave it to Gibbs in the fourth one, he said he was expecting not to see that compass again. You know, so he was like, here, take this, take it to wherever you want and all that. He wasn't expecting to see his compass ever again. So that automatically debunks that theory. Where was Javier Bardem pirate then? Exactly. So I think that was completely bullshit. I think a lot of other things. I think it ties in with the plot thread of this movie, in which Karina, the main lead actress in here, the lead mm-hmm. character,
the lead female character in here, she is Barbossa's daughter.
Timeline-wise, that does not make sense.
It doesn't make sense because, okay, let's assume that they're the same, that she's the same age as Will Turner's son.
Mm-hmm.
All right? He was born 10 years after the events of At World's End.
Yes.
And she was too. Jack talked to Barbossa as if he knew this lady, in which was Karina's mom.
Yeah, way back in the day.
Way back in the day.
Before the events of the first film.
But, however, he had no time to know that lady.
No.
Because remember how in the third movie, remember how he took away Barbossa hijacked the pearl again from Jack, and how Jack was spending all that time consumed on trying to find the Fountain of Youth.
We're talking like 20 some plus years at which he would have had to have had her.
Yeah.
And
then at birth, I'm assuming that was when he gave Barbossa gave
said.
Karina away.
Mm-hmm.
At birth. And how do you say? And then Jack had that exchange with Barbossa, albeit a good exchange. I mean, that's when I generally felt like it was Jack and Barbossa again. That would he's like the woman from something something. You know, you loved her and all that stuff. How the fuck did he know that he loved her? You know. But it was I don't know. It was completely bullshit. And then the whole I've been empty for so long kind of bullshit never came to fruition. What should have happened was, because he was living the high life.
He was living it up. He was king pirate.
Yeah, he was a king pirate. He was enjoying Turkish delights and in a pirate band playing to him while he's living life with a gold peg leg. And all of a sudden, he's like, and then all of a sudden, bam, he has like an emotional arc where, oh, I found what I've been, you know, missing and looking for.
But that's not even the arc, though.
He was,
it's just, oh, I have a daughter. I love her now.
He was complete. He was complete
already.
He was already
happy.
He was satisfied in his freaking, in the Queen of Zan's Revenge. He was not looking for her. He had no reason to look for her. You know, he didn't like...
I get what you're trying to say.
What should have happened was that, you brought it up, Peter, is that Barbossa should have like been feeling empty inside. Yeah, he had all of the jewels, all the riches, and you know, living the high life. But yet he, like, something about him, like he said something like, "I feel like even though I have all the treasures in the world, I feel nothing." And then all of a sudden he meets Karina at the, you know, he meets Karina, and then he's like, "I finally found what I've been looking for, my treasure," and thus making his arc in that movie complete.
I think you're rambling. I'm kind of getting confused. I know what you're trying to say, but it's confusing me. Like, are you understanding what he's saying, Alexis?
Yeah, because I heard this exact same conversation in the After Dark.
Yeah.
All I have to say is that thing about Barbossa feeling empty, that was something the both of you wished had happened. The movie never bothered had.
We're saying is that's the only way it makes sense.
Yeah.
If you want us to have an emotional connection to her and Barbossa, and at the end of the film when he dies, we're supposed to pretend as if that means something, then you have to actually make us care about both of them. And it assumes just because you say that's his daughter, all of a sudden he changes character completely and we're just supposed to buy it and go with it, and not only go with it, but care about it.
And
it asks too much.
And I'm sorry, that death sequence was bullshit.
I didn't believe he was dead, because it was so bad. I honestly didn't think. I was like, oh, he's going to come up out of the water, or he's going to...
Well, if Davy Jones can come back, then I guess Barbossa can too, because nobody is really dead in this universe.
Alexis, why did you like this film? What did you find enjoyable?
Well, you know, if you want me to answer the question, I will, but I kind of feel that it doesn't matter what answer I give you, I'm going to be interrupted or laughed at.
I promise no one will interrupt you until you are done.
Every time I try to get to a point, they're like, no, you shut up and sit down. I know exactly what you're going to say. No, so
I only said that once, and I was right, but go ahead.
No, I was going to say about the compass thing, yeah, it's inconsistent, but I kind of like... Because I already knew that going in, I was prepared to let that go. In fact,
hold
there
on,
were...
we are having technical difficulties.
Let's just talk shit about Alexis till he gets back. Remember that one time? He was like, I'm a little girl. Do you remember that? That was crazy.
That was crazy.
Hello?
Hello.
Okay,
hello.
Your point was...
The compass thing...
Hello.
The compass thing is inconsistent with the other pirate films. But because I was told about that in advance, I was already, like, had the mindset of letting that go completely. So it's like, whatever. Like, honestly, it's not the biggest thing in the world to be preoccupied with. Oh, the compass this, oh, the compass that. Yeah, it's a big deal in the film, but, like, really? Like, get over yourselves, okay?
Like, I mean, they have an entire flashback just to, and a very long one at that, just to establish the compass. If you're gonna push it so much in my face,
yeah,
then I think it is a valid criticism.
Yeah, it is, but not to the extent that you're... I thought that it was... I think you guys are overreacting when it comes to that. I mean, okay, that's just one issue with others that happened in this film.
Yeah, okay.
Look... I will agree that Jack and Johnny were two characters in this film. I will agree that Gibbs and Scrum and Martin were kind of there, which was kind of ridiculous. There were things that happened in this film that completely had no use or purpose. Like, what was his name? The Meacham father being the lieutenant. And then the Navy thing was a complete waste of time. All they ended up is just serving to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been completely taken out. They didn't need to exist anything besides the first part of the film, which I did happen to enjoy the majority of the sequences. I wouldn't say that the action set pieces are to the level of Gore Verbinski, but I did find them entertaining. All of them, I think, except for the last one. The last one was like,
did
whatever.
You really find all of them entertaining?
I said, except for the last one.
And like, I'll just say for me, like, when it got to the point where it was the two ships, I think they were battling each other, and then, what's it called, the head of the ship, it, like, came alive, and Jack was, like, jumping through the
stern,
jumping through the cannons,
yeah,
and then that thing was chasing him and stuff like that, and I was just sitting there, and I was like, I'm bored. This isn't fun. I don't know.
Well, I didn't react that way. The scene where Jack gets captured by this person and he gets forced to marry somebody.
That was weird.
Completely out of nowhere. Completely unnecessary. I was just like, what is even happening at this point?
Wasn't that weird, though?
It was.
Because it comes in, it happens, and then it's just like that, it's gone. And like, okay, back to the film. I was like, what? There's just these people waiting on this island, and now he's getting married? Okay. It was just weird. Like, I remember sitting there like, is this still going on? What is this? But I don't know.
But here's what I enjoyed, though.
Okay, go ahead.
And I have to attribute this to you two for lowering my expectations to such a degree.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
I felt like we were going to do that, but yeah, go ahead.
I enjoyed a lot about this movie. Look, I'll say this. I was entertained throughout the whole thing. Like, I was never under the impression that this was, like, that good or great. But I can't say that I walked away dissatisfied. Was I disappointed with some of the decisions that were made? Sure. But it's like, I'm sorry, but I enjoyed this so much more than the fourth movie.
The fourth, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales was the most disappointing thing since my son.
Are you even hearing me?
Go ahead, Alexis.
Yeah.
The fourth movie, I'm sorry, but that to me was a bigger disappointment. That nothing of any interest happens. It is just a complete
But what
snooze.
Of interest happens here? Because that's my thing. I keep asking you, like, you keep saying I was entertained, but what entertained you?
I've already told you.
No, you
what
haven't.
Has entertained me. I was entertained with the action sequences. I was entertained
okay.
with all of the scenes with Barbossa. And I even found Captain Salazar to be enjoyable until the very end, where he just kind of disappears. I was still entertained with Jack, even though he was in and out of spaces or whatever. I actually quite enjoyed Henry and Karina. And the Black Pearl came. But look, there were things in here. I'm a sucker for the whole Will and Elizabeth thing. So, look, there were things here that I found to be of more, I'm sorry, of greater interest in the fourth film. And I think I've given you a number of examples. You may hate it. You may be disgusted by it. But I'm sorry. I liked a lot of stuff that happened here. Was it a waste of...
I think it is a complete and utter waste of time. I understand you feel differently. I know you feel differently about Jack. I actually thought he actually at least acted like Jack in the fourth one. The action sequences, at least the first two, I do think are more entertaining in this film than the fourth one. But since the third film, the only thing that's I think has come close to feeling like those original pirate films is the mermaid sequence in the fourth one. Nothing in this film I felt came close to those original films. Now, and at the end of the day, it kind of felt hollow. Nothing felt like it mattered.
I think that's fair.
Barbossa does try. I think Jeffrey Rush is always there, and he's always giving his all.
Oh, he's the saving grace.
Yeah. But again, it was hard for me to even get into it with him because his story is just so bullshit to me. And I think, I know Kyle was really mad that they even gave him a daughter at all. I think you could have made that work. I do think you could have really made that work, and you could have done something really cool with it. And I'm not attacking you because you enjoy the film. Believe me, there's a lot of films that I can't explain, or I can explain them. It just comes down to I enjoyed them more than other people. It's as simple as that. I'm just kind of laying out where, like, I do get what you're saying, and then it's just for me, even with what you said, I'm not saying it's worse than the fourth one, but I might have to see it again just to see where, if it is better, it's only slightly for me.
Final thoughts?
That was kind of my final thought, so you guys can go.
I wouldn't put this in the league of any of the Gore Verbinski films. Not anywhere close. But if I'm comparing it to the fourth one, I would say this is better for me. And I enjoyed it. And I think I think it'll be best to leave it at that.
Okay. I thought the movie was a clusterfuck. I did not enjoy it. I get why people enjoy it, but I don't personally enjoy it. A lot of things did frustrate me. The score was bland. The only parts were like, yeah, that was cool, was when they played that song I know. But
yeah, the new stuff wasn't that good. That's why, and we said this, the only way I'm coming back for another Pirates film is if you get the big three back together.
Well, we didn't even touch upon that post-end credits scene.
Oh, do you want to touch on that?
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
That added to my negativity of this film, I gotta be honest. That really did.
I will say this and get ready to be shocked. Sign me up.
I'm not necessarily shocked because you have been disappointing me lately with your feeling on these
films.
You know
what, Peter? If I've been disappointing you lately, good. Because you know what? This entire goddamn existence of a life has been disappointing me time and time again. So you know what? How about I fuck with you for a change? I mean, not you, Peter, but I mean the world, instead of the world fucking with me.
I think he's having a breakdown. I'm so sorry.
You know what? I don't care. If Davy Jones comes back, I love Davy Jones. I don't care. Bring him back.
But to me, it's like...
It's that character I know.
It's so stupid. It's so terrible. And it doesn't matter if you bring back a character you like if you don't have good writers or direction to hold that character. Look at the prequels that had a lot of characters you knew and liked. That didn't help the films. You know, just flashing a character I know and like isn't going to get me to like the film. That's why I said the only way I'm coming back is if you get the big three back, you get the writers back, you get Hans Zimmer back, and for sure, you get Gore Verbinski back. You get everyone, you get the band back together and make a real, true Pirates film. Because I feel all of those elements together were what made a Pirates film. Fourth and fifth one, they don't feel like Pirates film to me. They feel like very expensive fan films that have some elements that sometimes work, but mostly just don't work for me. A lot of what made those original films so special, and I know a lot of people don't like 2 and 3, but let's say just first, a lot of the thing that made that first film special just isn't there with... at least just talking about this one, the fifth one, they just weren't there.
If you guys want to know what we thought about all the previous four movies, listen to our audio commentaries up on YouTube right now. Alexis,
you didn't say what you felt about what's his name coming back?
Davy Jones?
Yeah,
it was shit. It was shit. Like,
but there was little seashells on the floor.
I don't give a fuck what's on the floor.
Or his little crab leg.
Oh, by the way, Keira Knightley got the easiest paycheck in the world, just showing up in costume, saying no lines, and that's it.
Plus, she hasn't aged a day, so it looks kind of weird with her next to her son.
Yeah, and not just...
Are we really going to blame Keira Knightley for that?
No, I am not blaming her at all. That's a compliment.
She looks amazing. Come on.
She does.
But Orlando Bloom has aged significantly.
It's only significant because it seems like he's aged in the past couple of years. Because in the Hobbit films, he still looked the same. But
no,
in this
I noticed
one,
in the Hobbit.
You
know,
in the Thomas film.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe it's just me.
And that was supposed to take place before, so I'm like, then you get like fresh-faced Orlando Bloom in the Lord of the Rings movies, and I'm like, what the hell is going on here?
I thought they looked the same, but in this one, it definitely looked like he aged a bit. So I'm like,
there's like five bags under his eyes.
I can believe him as a dad. Keira Knightley did not age a day, maybe a week. So standing next to her son, it's like, that's your son? Okay. I don't know. It looks funny to me.
But at the end credits when I did see, I heard the footsteps, I saw the shadow. I'm like this, fucking shit. And then you were laughing.
I was laughing.
You were laughing
at
my reaction.
I was done. So I was just laughing.
You were laughing at my reaction.
I think halfway through the film I started laughing.
And I'm like, and then when he raised the freaking his claw hand,
I was like, oh. The claw. He was looking for.
By the way, I want the record Zekir to Lightning. Show that I want the record to show that Kyle Lira has since come out and said that he enjoyed aspects of Beauty and the Beast the live action version. So for those of you,
I knew that was coming.
Who are under the impression that Kyle Lira hated the live action Beauty and the Beast? Well, it seems to me that the tables have turned somewhat because he now enjoys Ewan McGregor's Lumiere's Be Our Guest. So,
told him that.
I, for one, look forward to when you see this movie for the second time and say you enjoy aspects of it.
Third time.
You've seen it
twice? I meant Pirates 5.
Oh, when we see Pirates 5? No, I think the...
I am looking forward to when you see Pirates 5 again and you say you enjoyed
it. But the thing is because the reason why I liked Ewan McGregor seeing Lumiere's role is because it's that thing I know.
Peter, your response.
Kyle, I desperately want to defend you. I really do.
What?
But every time... If we're talking about disappointments here I had with Alexis. This is another thing with you. You 99.9% out of times. I know that was like a weird-ass number. But the majority of the time, vast majority... You do come back, and it's like, well, it's the thing I like. It's the thing I know. I do like it. It's entertaining. I can let me just say, I can see you maybe on a Saturday afternoon. You're bored. You see pirates, and you're like, you know what? There was parts I enjoyed. There was Jack doing his Jack thing.
There was a lot more things I was frustrated with than this one.
I do
one.
Agree. There's more stuff that you were frustrated with in this one than in
Beauty and the Beast.
Well,
I don't know.
I still feel... Time will tell.
If you go back to the After Dark, so both Beauty and the Beast and Pirates 5, I don't know. It seemed to me that Kyle was much more pissed at Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, but let me tell you this. I was in the theater with him both times. He was not visibly angry in Beauty and the Beast. He was very angry while we were watching Pirates. I had to quiet him down. I thought he was going to throw a fit. When he realized that what's her name?
Was the daughter.
Was the daughter of Barbossa. It was kids next to him. I think he dropped the F-bomb. I was like, whoa, Kyle.
I think I let out a big old fucking shit.
Yeah, you did. There was a kid right next to you.
How loud? I think the people in the back heard.
Kyle, that's not something to be proud of.
I'm not proud of it. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not proud of it,
but
it's just
it
like...
It was funny to me. I'll give you that.
But it's just like something that I brought out.
Did Kyle ever tell you the story of when he saw Toy Story 3 in theaters?
I assume there was tears.
Lotso was like press the button, and then he let all the other characters go into the furnace.
Oh yeah.
I let out a big old fuck you in the movie theater.
He stood up and said fuck you.
Did you really stand up?
I think I did.
Oh,
I don't
my
know.
God. That is a children's movie, Kyle.
Hey, if something pisses. I'll stand on that soapbox.
It's like Kyle thinks when he sees a movie, he's there by himself or something. That's what I think, anyway.
It's because he's so immersed in the film. No, but to the point of it, he was.
Oh, by the way, I've watched Rogue One 17 times, and I still cry at the ending.
And there's that.
All right, guys, we gave our thoughts on both movies. Now it's time for another. Lovely, 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 lovely portion of our show called What's Happening Hot Stuff.
What's Happening Hot Stuff?
Let's get in the news, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, Alexis, Soto, I know that you're going to have a lot of shit to talk about this topic. But alas, Zack Snyder, due to, unfortunately, his daughter committed suicide...
And we shouldn't even just go into that at all. That's a very sad thing.
Yeah, and he had some personal. He had to take a personal leave from the movie, and so here comes in his red cape, Joss Whedon has come in.
He's been a team player
to work on Justice League. Finished the movie, Alexis, your thoughts. On the Whedon coming in and working on Justice League. Here we go.
You know, after seeing Wonder Woman, and I think I have to make this very clear. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a good time with the movie. But something happened when I was watching it. I was like, you know, I was thinking to myself when I was watching like the good aspects of that film. This could actually work. Like, I can see myself.
And that's when I cried.
I know, yeah.
I can see myself enjoying a whole universe of these movies. Because, and maybe it was just Wonder Woman, but I felt completely as if, like, I have a hero that I can get behind. And that's something that didn't work in the other films.
Isn't it nice to see a hero that's, like, truly heroic?
Yeah.
It's about the people that, like, cares about people's lives, whether, you know, they live or die and stuff like that.
Because let's face it, the whole Batman v Superman thing was a dick measuring contest between the two, Batman and Superman.
A lot of films are, but...
I thought it was a murdering measure contest.
Well, I think Batman won.
Alfred, he touched my cane.
I don't know why we still do the old Batman voice when that's not even the voice anymore.
Tell me, do you bleed?
Do you bleed?
You will. I think it's because it's so iconic.
Yeah, it is. At this point it is. Go ahead, Alexis.
I'd say Joss Whedon essentially taking over the helm now. It seems like he's been at the helm for, I think, 2 months at this point. And it
is
was
it
just
that
announced
long?
That... I mean, because this happened back in March, I think, right? That Zack Snyder had this tragedy.
Yeah,
I know, but I thought it was he didn't leave until recently. Or
well,
maybe
I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
The reality is, though, that there are major reshoots happening,
mm-hmm.
and this is Joss Whedon, not Zack Snyder. Joss Whedon has given us wonderful, amazing content.
Like I haven't seen but I've been told that Serenity is really good.
Serenity is great. Love Serenity.
I think what I have to say about this is we can't dismiss Justice League anymore. We can't expect shit. Like, at this point, expectations for this film have been raised, and I'm at this point more than willing to consider this film.
Oh, and as long as you're in this episode, you conceded that everything I say is right. I don't know if you saw that Collider...
Well,
it was on Collider that they said that the future of the DCEU rides on the performance of Justice League. And that's what I said way before Wonder Woman was released, was that Wonder Woman could be considered the greatest film ever, it could be considered the worst film ever. It doesn't matter. What matters is how Justice League gets received. And I think WB came out and admitted that. Like, that's what they're looking at. That's what's going to tell them the future of this this experiment, this world, this whole universe. And it truly is a tragedy. It's really sad what happened to Zack Snyder. And I almost wish that he wouldn't have even, you know, put himself through making a film. Because making a film is just so freaking difficult, and you have all this pressure and stuff. You know, the piece of me really wishes he would have, like, stepped away and just been with his family, because it must have been heartbreaking to deal with that and also deal with the pressure of the filmmaking. So I'm glad he did step away. But when he did step away, I do feel like DC said, and WB, this film, we have all this writing on it. They brought in Joss Whedon. They know he can do it because he's the one who started this, the team films with the Avengers, and he can knock it out of the park. So if this to me, because I do love Zack Snyder. I love a lot of his films. I love Watchmen. I love 300. I love his Day of the Dead. Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
His Dawn of the Dead remake I thought was so much fun. But... What I think is really great is, and this is something I always wanted, was you have Zack Snyder's visuals and his style of action set against Joss Whedon's character development
mm-hmm.
and banter and dialogue. And I think that's what you're going to get. I think that's what a lot of the reshoots are going to be. I don't think there are going to be that many action things. I think Zack Snyder took care of a lot of the action things. Well, I think a lot of these reshoots are going to be Joss Whedon coming in and pumping up the characters, pumping up the story arcs, you know, maybe making it a little bit lighter, making the characters flow better, because that was my biggest issues with Man of Steel and BVS. The characters were terrible. I did not like Batman. I did not like Superman. Wonder Woman, she read an email, you know? So to me, that's like the dream team right there. Both of them, his visual style against and his action against his Joss Whedon's, you know, character development, writing and directing. So if this is able to be pulled together, and and the way I think it can be pulled together, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be really great. And at the very least, a lot of fun. At its worst, it'll just be a clusterfuck.
And you know what? I really love the idea that you had talking about it, because Zack Snyder is a really good visual director.
Oh, yeah.
Like, his visual style is amazing. I mean,
you pause any scene in one of his films, and it's
a beautiful picture.
Yeah, it is.
And then you have the more intimate Joss Whedon come in and work with it. And also another thing that he has good with him is that his strength lies within ensemble.
That's a great point as well.
You know, so that's another added bonus onto it. The ensemble piece, like the character stuff, lead that to Joss Whedon. I'm pretty sure that they've wrapped all the big action pieces of the movie.
Yeah.
So keep that in there and keep Zack Snyder's flair in there. But with the character moments, he could easily come in and beef it up, give it some steroids or whatever.
And I know they probably won't do this because this will be messing with Zack Snyder's vision. But for gosh sake, please put in some color.
Yeah.
Please. Like, it was so refreshing to see Wonder Woman.
Beautiful
colors. Yeah. And it's great. And
dude,
I loved it.
That the mascara.
It's beautiful.
It was gorgeous. Like, in the contrast of the green and the blue of the ocean.
Yeah.
Just the way that it looked.
It was paradise.
It was
great. And, like, just looking at the trailer, the trailer that we got for Justice League, where, like, you can't make out the color that much in Wonder Woman's at all. You can't make out the color in Aquaman's. It just looks like these scaly things. And that was always the thing for Superman. I still say Man of Steel might as well have just been a black and white film, because with how little color that film had. And a lot of the action scenes in the trailer were at night, and everything's just gray and darker gray. And it's like, this could be visual. It is visually stunning, but it could be twice that, even more beautiful, if you just gave us some color. I don't think that's going to be changed in this one. But if you look like at the stuff coming out with James Wan,
yeah,
like he's going full green, yellow. He's going sort of that campy color that I love, that I'm really digging.
Kind of like 70s Marvel.
A little bit. Or even DC, and I think that's cool.
DC always lingered towards, like, red and blue, versus in the 70s, Marvel went for like, green and your yellows and your browns.
Well,
that's when Iron Fist became a big thing, and that's why his outfit was
green and yellow.
Green and yellow, yeah.
But with this film, the colors are, like, the most color you get is, like, some blues. A lot of blues, some dark blues, washed-out grays, dark blacks.
I'm mad that the Speed Force isn't
red
yellow.
Or yellow.
It's yellow.
It's blue. Because that's the color scheme. And, yeah, I think that's kind of lame. At least his suit does look red. But
dark red.
Dark red. But still, it looks good red. At the end of the day, I, as much as I trashed Man of Steel and BVS, like, I do not
and
like
Suicide
those films.
Suicide Squad?
Well, Zack Snyder didn't make Suicide Squad.
Okay.
As much as I trashed those two films, I am a huge fan of Zack Snyder. I really want him to have a win with Justice League. You know, gosh knows he needs it. Plus, you know, I do believe he pours his heart and soul into these films. So I'm hoping for a win for him with this one. I still think there's a huge chance it's a clusterfuck, because I guarantee you those scripts went crazy rewriting right after BVS, because right after BVS they went straight into Justice League.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of the mishaps they could have had, Joss Whedon could be running through it scenes, and it's like, no, that doesn't work. Let me go and redo this scene better with better dialogue and stuff like that. Like, this tone shift doesn't work. Let me go and fix this.
Alexis, what are your thoughts before we go into Black Panther?
I agree with Peter.
Okay, great. So, guys, last night the Black Panther trailer dropped, along with in the morning, Marvel released the first poster towards it, and it looks like a PlayStation 2.
That was an ugly poster. That was a disgusting poster. What is with Marvel? They do everything right. Who is their poster guys?
The posters suck. The only posters that I can recall that I really like are the Winter Soldier and Guardians 2, the teaser one.
Is it because those are the two you own?
Oh my god.
Sure, it is.
That's
why they're the best.
Actually, I really love...
Go ahead.
I could see Kevin Feige with the check behind you. What is that? Anyway, I would argue that the first Avengers, the theatrical poster...
Hold up. Wait, hold up here. Fuck you for that. I just said all their posters suck. So I don't understand why you're going to say they're waving a check behind me.
Anyway, before I was deterred.
Drama.
I think the first Avengers theatrical poster was really good.
Their posters have been crap lately. I saw this poster of Black Panther is terrible. All the Spider-Man ones were not good.
Oh my gosh.
Doctor Strange
those
were
the
uninspired.
Worst.
Yeah, Spider-Man's ones were the worst. Civil War, none of the main posters were cool, but if you look around, there were some cool things.
You know what's better? The fan art.
The fan art is way better. That's what I'm saying. These are multi-million dollar films. Who's getting their little kid brother who's learning Photoshop to make these to make these posters? Because they're just terrible. But luckily, at the end of the day, who gives a shit about posters? It's about the film.
What do we think about the trailer, guys?
I think I'll go first. I love the trailer. I loved it a lot. I think it's great. Super awesome. I think you see Ryan Coogler behind it a lot. You see his direction.
Yeah.
I'm loving the look of Wakanda. I love... Because that was Wakanda. It was the African tribalism mixed with this futuristic city and technology. And I think they're doing a really awesome job of combining those two. If you saw Creed, then you already know the action's going to be great. If you saw Civil War, you know that this is not a joking character. Black Panther is a very serious guy. He runs a country and he's a superhero. So, and he's a king. King and superhero, that's pretty cool. So it's going to delve into certain aspects of a character that we haven't seen before in a superhero film. Just certain aspects that we haven't seen before, mainly because he is in charge of a country, and you see him like at the UN. He has to be responsible for his people, so he can't just go out and, you know, do all this vigilanteism and then be not accountable to it, because his country will be held accountable for everything he does as well. So it's also going to look like a war on all fronts. You're going to have people from inside trying to betray you. You're going to have outside people. I'm hoping it feels a little bit like House of Cards. Like this, a lot of political playing back and forth, trying to see who you can trust. But it just looks really great.
Yeah.
The most excited Marvel movies for me right now are Thor, Ragnarok, and Black Panther.
I would have to agree with you, Peter. I really liked, number one, it was gorgeous. The way that Wakanda looked, it looked really gorgeous. I really love how... I'm surprised that there was a trailer because of how much of Andy Serkis chewed it up.
But it's fun. It's a fun. He plays a really fun. You can tell the kind of character he's playing. He's kind of like a smuggler. He's like Han Solo if Han Solo was just a complete douche, not just a little bit of a douche.
Yeah.
Like, he really is just all about the money and the cargo, and he's just trying to steal this African country's wealth. And he's gonna not necessarily ham it up, but he's gonna have a lot of fun. You could tell.
Yeah, and also Chadwick Boseman, the way that he goes up against Michael B. Jordan, that right there is I can't wait to see that dynamic, because it looks like they're gonna completely clash in the movie. A lot of girl power with Danai Gurira, Lupita Nyong'o.
Have Amazonians versus I forgot the name.
Wakandians,
for
I guess.
They had an official name for it, was his all female guard. I forgot it though.
But I can't wait to see this movie because it looks really gorgeous. Alexis, your turn.
I have to say that I think my ignorance of comic book history knows no bounds, because, I don't know what it was that I had in my head about what Wakanda would look like or what it was, but this certainly wasn't it. And I have to say that, surprisingly, I only saw this trailer once, but I was blown away entirely by what I saw.
In a good this way or looks, a bad way?
And I think that the tone would imply in a very good way.
Okay. Because for a second I was like, oh my god, I think those Marvel checks did bounce.
No, I mean, this was spectacular. Everything about this trailer. Visually was amazing. And the song that was chosen perfectly fit the atmosphere about what this movie is. Like, I mean, Chadwick Boseman, Michael B. freaking Jordan looks incredible. And you can definitely detect Ryan Coogler's touch in this film. It's going to be outstanding. It may rival one of Marvel's bests.
And also, you touched on it a little bit. This is maybe the best cast they've had. They got Michonne in there.
Yeah, Lupita. They got Lupita Nyong'o. They got Forest Whitaker. They got Martin Freeman. Andy Serkis is in there. Chadwick Boseman is in there.
It's an amazing cast.
Michael B. Jordan.
It really is. And I even then I think there's a couple more.
I think the movie should have a boogly.
No. What's his name? I know you guys probably never saw it, but the main guy from Get Out.
Him.
Yes.
The Black Mirror guy.
Yes. Okay. I keep forgetting his name. But he, you see him in the trailer too. I think he looks like he's with, what's his name? From Creed.
Michael B. Jordan.
He's with Michael B. Jordan in his group. Because you see him right next to him, like one of his hench guys. So it's a great cast. It really is. And just in terms of world building, you could tell a big character is going to be the country itself of Wakanda. And that's something I can't wait for, too. Because, the bigger and bigger that this Marvel Cinematic Universe gets, you keep wondering, like, okay, like, where to next? Where can we stretch this? What stone have we not unturned? And that's how you get to Doctor Strange with all the mystic stuff and Guardians of the Galaxy. With the more cosmic stuff, and then this is I think another stone that was unturned, which I can't wait till it gets unturned because it's such an original, cool area with these. I love seeing the beautiful African tribal aspects of it, but it's also this really rich, highly advanced society, and
it's the best of both worlds.
Yeah, it's a society seeped in both the past and the future. So it's cool. And just learning about their unique culture, because it's completely made up.
And that shot when he's like looking up and he sees all the villagers and all that stuff, I felt like that was taken out from the pages of a comic book.
Yeah.
So a lot of cool visuals, a lot of cool moments. And
plus, the Black Panther himself is just so badass. The way he was walking towards that guy shooting him.
Yeah.
He's just like, I'm bulletproof.
The way that he like got off the truck and mm-hmm. started went on to the other, just a simple thing like that, and yeah, he makes it look so cool.
Yeah. So I can't wait. I think it's gonna rank among one of Marvel's best.
Alexis, final thoughts.
I agree with Peter.
Okay, great. Now, unfortunately, somebody from the comic book realm, somebody from a DC history has gone before us. Adam West unfortunately passed away. I mean, he was more than Batman to a lot of us. He was Mayor Adam West from Family Guy, and he was
Quahog.
Yeah. And then you have a Catman from Fairly Odd Parents, and he did so much. What kind of impact did Adam West have on you?
I loved his original cartoon. Not the cartoon, the live act. It felt like a cartoon.
It was.
That's as close as you get into a live action cartoon right there. But that was. I always loved looking at Adam West Batman. Because to me, like, if I had to choose an ultimate version of Batman, mm-hmm. it would be, like, the Arkham games. But, to me, Adam West's television version of Batman, even though it is as far removed as you could ever be from those Arkham games, still in my eyes, it's still right there. And I still look at it, and I still see Batman. You know, that even though it's completely different, it's equal in my eyes as far as what I consider Batman.
Get rid of a bomb. And
It's so campy. It's so fun. And his entire life, he was such a good sport, you know? Yeah. He was 88, and up until he was 88, he was working, doing voiceover for Family Guy. He was super cool. He seemed like a genuinely nice person. That would walk up to fans and just be
did
like...
Did you see a Return of the Caped Crusaders?
I have not seen it yet, no.
I strongly recommend it if you really love the world. And it also made fun of the grittiness of the new ones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. Alexis, what impact did Adam West have on you?
Well, I never really grew up. I didn't really see the Batman... thing that he did. Adam West wasn't really somebody that was ever really present in my life or had a big influence on me. All that I can recall of was Fairly Odd Parents, Family Guy, and I believe that's it. So yeah.
Your loss, sir.
No, apparently it is.
I genuinely adored Adam West. He was my first Batman. I remember
that was how I
first knew Batman was because late at night I would sneak into the living room, turn the television volume down real low, and I would watch the 60s series of Batman, and there he was, my Caped Crusader, Adam West, and he, like, the exuberance he had, like, it was silly what he said, like, this is something of great epic proportions, Robin, and just the way that he reacted with Burt Ward and stopping the Riddler from turning the whole world into chocolate. But yeah, you know, even though that it was a silly premise, you took it seriously because he did, you know? And so, and he was a class act of an actor. I mean, when he did voiceover, he did really good. His voice just doesn't sound like it aged a day.
That's true. Usually, when people get older, like, you could tell by their voice changing. He sounds exactly the same, or maybe I'm misremembering it.
No, he sounds the same. Yeah. He sounds the same, and that's a great thing, you know? And you know, he always had this, like, spunk. He was really friendly. He always appeared to, like, all these conventions. And
he's just a good guy.
Yeah, he enjoyed all the fans, you know? And he pretty much put his footprint on the Batman lore, you know? He will always be Batman, you know? And, yeah... it's a terrible loss that he's gone, but yeah, rest in peace, Adam West. Final words on Mr. West.
No, just he was a great guy. He brought everyone a lot of happiness, and you know he lived to be 88.
Yeah,
he's just so like, I whenever you reach that age. You, because not everyone gets to reach that age. All I can think is, like, you know, you made it. You know, you had a really long, awesome life. So to me, it's more of a celebration, you know, of what he was able to accomplish and all the happiness he brought people. So,
yeah. Yeah, Alexis, final thoughts? Yes, no?
I agree with Peter.
Okay, that's great. That concludes our programming, ladies and gentlemen. Check out our After Darks on the YouTube. Check out our audio commentaries for our Pirates of the Caribbean. Soon, we're going to be getting into all the rest of the Star Wars movies before The Last Jedi comes out.
Don't forget, Kyle, you owe everyone that amazing audio commentary of the wonderful Batman v Superman.
Which, by the way,
I believe it's been long overdue. When did you say you were going to have it out by the time?
Oh, that's right. You said it was going to be out before Wonder Woman.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen.
Kyle, you kind of owe. It's been 2 weeks overdue.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Red Spotlight Entertainment number 51. Yo ho and a lasso of truth. We'll see you guys. We'll check us out under the spotlight very soon. Bye.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows, and what's on the other side?
Rainbows are visions, but only illusions, and rainbows have nothing to hide.
So we've been told, and some choose to believe it, but I know they're wrong. Wait and see. Yeah.
Someday we'll find it,
yeah.
The rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers and me.
Wow, I wish I could sing like you.
Who said that every wish would be heard and answered? Who wished on the morning star?
Well, you know, somebody just thought of that, and someone believed it, and look what it's done so far. You know?
What's so amazing that keeps us stargazing? What do we think we might see?
Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers and me. All of us under its spell, we know that it's probably magic.
Yeah. Have you been half asleep, and have you heard voices?
I heard them calling my name. Mm-hmm.
Is this the sweet sound that calls the young sailor?
The voice might be one and the same.
I've heard it too many times to ignore it. It's something that I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. Someday we'll find it, the rain.